Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm Melissa Redpill. We're going to do something really amazing, wonderful today. I think you'll really love it. We're going to do Passover today. Some of you might not realize that Passover is to be kept perpetually. This is a biblical festival, not a Jewish festival specifically. It is fulfilled in Christ, and you're going to see it. You're going to love it today, and you'll connect so many dots, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And so it's coming up on April 1st this year, and so I hope that people watch this for years and years and learn how to keep the Passover. And so if whatever day it is, you want to make sure that you celebrate it. And it's not that hard. It's just, you know, a few little things that you need to gather up. You don't really have to go buy a bunch of stuff, pretty much things that you already have at your house. So welcome to our door for, this is not my door, this is one I found on the internet, but this is my door here, Melissa. My website is melissaredpill.com. If you want to come and join with us, we're over on melissaredpill.com. And we always look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is literally biblical what we are witnessing. So yes, this is the Passover door, and what you can do, let's just jump right in, because first things first, you can get a sash that is a red sash and put it on your doors, or you can use streamers or anything that you have that's red. Okay, and this is obviously reminding us of back in the day when the Egyptians were in Egypt and they put the blood of the Passover lamb on the door. And so this reminds us, of course, that the blood of Christ is what cleanses us, and how his blood is causing the Lord to pass over us and not to remember our sins. That's the whole point. When you think of Passover, he's not remembering your sins. He passes over your sins because the penalty has already been paid by the blood of Christ, by his blood on the cross. This is why this is, you know, happening right here at Easter. And of course, our Lord Jesus is the Passover lamb during Passover. So that is a great way to start the celebration, and people realize, hey, something very special is happening this night on Passover. So definitely check this out. Again, it's going to be on April Fool's Day this year. Interesting, huh? I'm going to tell a little bit more about that. But this is where it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. This is what Moses told the people. He says, "But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, and you've seen that angel of death coming through there with that smoke. It was really eerie the way they did it. Pretty good how they did it way back in the day. It said, you know, if you remember, it went to these doors, and certain people died who did not have the blood on the door. The firstborn would die. And then those who had the blood on their door, then the Lord passed over and they were safe. And it really is indicating that the blood of Christ is what rescues humanity from the judgment that is falling. And what we're witnessing right now, here it is, March 21st, 2026, we are witnessing the destruction of the enemies, those people who've joined literally in league with Satan that do not have the blood of Christ on their door. And I will just say this, that there are a lot of people who maybe don't understand all the fine details of Passover or of what Christ even did on the cross, but the blood of Christ covers their sins. The ones he's coming in judgment against, you're going to see the wine that is lots of wine is in this Passover celebration. That he's crushing the grapes of wrath right now. They are under God's judgment, and this is what really Passover is a lot about: is judgment falling on the evildoers. So I'm just saying, I'm ready. I'm good for it to happen right now, and we already see all this happening in the Middle East. So I want to make sure that everything's good to go. You're seeing me. Everything's good.
We already see
a thumbs up over
in
the chat. I would love it. Thank you so much. All right, so here's the calendar. Here we are today on the 21st of
good to go. You're seeing me. Everything's good.
Of March. This is the third day of Nisan.
All right, so here's the calendar.
Right there on the 19th at that new moon was the first day of the new year.
This is like spring calendar,
the civil new year in the fall,
and the new moon was the first day of the
new moon.
This is like the 19th.
So who told them to have to take the first move was to set the calendar up for the day,
because that really helps you to understand what's going on.
So who told them to have to take the first move was to set the calendar up
for watches or if they had to do everything based upon
what's going on. I'm sorry. Okay, that. Bad echo. Okay. Yes. Okay. So is it? Yeah. I think it's okay now. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Did you hear what I had to say? That it is today is the 21st of March, but it's the third day of Nisan, and so the first day was the 19th. That was the first day of Nisan. That's the beginning of the new year. So, yeah. Okay, is it all good now? Okay, good. All right, so yeah, so this is the new year celebration. And it's like, you know, springtime is a new beginnings, a time of new beginnings. And so I really do feel like humanity is on the verge of amazing new beginnings. And I'm ready, and I know you guys are too. So he said for us to follow the lunar calendar, and the biblical calendars are set up on the lunar calendar, the moon. And so when you see that this is the beginning of the new moon, this is the new month. And so that was because I guess I was saying, I don't know if you heard this, but that they did not have calendars back in the day. They didn't have Google. They didn't have watches. They didn't have all that. They had to follow the moon, and that's how they would know when certain things were going to happen. And it made it very, you know, very easy for them. And so what happens is, looking as you're following the moon this month, you look out and hopefully you have a beautiful blue sky, a beautiful night sky, then you will see the moon get larger and larger and larger. And so you'll know that Passover is on the full moon. And if you think about it, that was a perfect time for God's people to escape Egypt. That night they were, the Lord said, I'm going to bring you out by amazing salvation and under the Egyptians under a great judgment, and I'm going to deliver you out of their hand. This is what we are all wanting to see. We're all looking forward to seeing us being delivered from the under the boot of these tyrants, and that they would have a full moon. So that really lit up the sky. It really does. The moon, when you have a full moon, it really, if, you know, you can go out there and walk around and not stumble around. So the Passover is on the full moon when they escaped Egypt. And if you remember, the whole reason you have the unleavened bread, which we're going to talk about in a second, was because they hurried out. When the Lord says, it's time for me to deliver you, they got their stuff and they got out of there that quick. And so they didn't have time to leaven the bread and let it rise. It was literally make this bread, you know, make it into little flat. I'll show you here in a second, but more about this. But this is the matzah bread. You make this and get out of here. And that's exactly what they did. And that's what we're about to do as humanity. We're about to get out of here, not leave Earth, because I don't believe rapture is the correct interpretation, but we're about to get out from under their boot. That's what's very, very exciting about what we're witnessing. All right. So there's your calendar. And so, you know, it's going to come up on next Wednesday. Actually, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. Okay, so you have a little bit of time to get this organized, and if you want to do it just between you and your husband, or you and you know your immediate family, or you can invite others. We always invite other people to come and join with us. And every time we do it, someone's like, "Well, I've never done this before. I had no idea Passover was about Jesus." I'm like, "Yes, that's exactly what it's about," and you'll see it as we go through today. All right, so. And so just, you know, you'll keep this video and you'll be able to see all the different things that, happened that you'll need for this process. But I also want you to know this verse from that Exodus 12:14, the last part of it says, this will be a day for you to remember and celebrate as a festival to our Father from generation to generation. You are to celebrate it as a perpetual regulation. He wanted us to keep this perpetually. He wanted us to continually keep this festival. This was not something that was just for a certain ethnicity. This is for all believers perpetually. That means from time immemorial. And he wanted everybody who has the same faith as Abraham, which is the Abraham's faith was that he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. If you believe God, if you believe him and you follow him, and that faith is counted to you as righteousness. And so you have the same faith as Abraham, as the children sing the little song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. There are many who have the same faith as Abraham. Again, may not have all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and that's not what it's about. It's about your true faith. So he said for us to keep this perpetually. Well, they've led us away from doing that because it really does help us to piece these things together. Oh, we need to keep the lunar calendar. Oh, that will give us help us to see what's going on and to see God, you know, God's judgments upon the wicked. And they don't want us to think about that. They did not want us to at all think about that. So this is what we are to do. Again, not just for Jews. Who profess or follow Judaism, but this is for everybody who has the same faith as Abraham. That's in Exodus chapter 12:14. If you want to check it out yourself. All right. So, the first thing you do when someone walks through the door and you have everyone's gathered is that you say everybody go and look for leavened bread. We have got to find any leavened bread, and we've got to get it out of here. So you can hide some doughy bread, just like regular loaf bread, all throughout the house and wherever you want it to be hidden. And it's kind of like an Easter egg hunt, but it's a hunt for leaven. And so it is the thing about the leavened bread is it's a picture of being puffed up with pride. And the whole point of pride is that you someone believes, hey, I don't have to follow God. I don't have to do what he says. I don't have to listen to him. I can do whatever I want. I'm my own God. That's the whole problem with pride. And so the doughy bread is a picture of that. And so we're supposed to get that out. Let's get that completely out of us. Let's get that purged completely. And so that's why you go and have a little Easter egg hunt, but it's a doughy bread hunt. Okay. So, but that's why we are going to eat for the entire meal. We're going to eat the flattened, like a cracker bread that's not leavened. And so that does not have any pride. It does not have any, it's not lifted up and puffed up where it doesn't want to obey God. All right. So that's got to go. All right. So that's the first thing you do. And then you take it somewhere. Maybe we've taken it to our grill. You can take it wherever you want and you burn it. And that's a picture of people literally burning their doughy bread. You see, it's a bunch of loaves and they pulled it out and they got it out of the freezer. They got it out of the cupboards. They got it out of everywhere and they burned that to a crisp. Now, the current bread is not necessarily that easy to burn because they've got so many preservatives, and that proves to you that that's probably not the best thing to do, not to eat. But anyway, that's the first thing you do is you purge the leaven out of your house. And this is what our Lord Jesus, actually, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. This is a picture of where they had people in the church who were coming in, and they were the evildoers were coming in there and they had infiltrated. And he said, you know, you guys got to get this out of here because these people are are destroying the house of God because they're bringing in evil into the house of God. Evil and deception and all that. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, you're boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads throughout the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you'll be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. This is what he wants us to do in our personal lives and in the church. He wants us to be a holy group where we honor the Lord. And I'm thankful, very thankful for our wonderful Freedom Force Battalion. We have, everyone here loves the Lord. Sometimes we'll have someone try to come into the chat who's being, really ugly and disrespectful to the Lord. And we're like, nope, that's not what we're doing. We're purging all that out. And so I'm very thankful that everyone's faith here and how you all are always so respectful to each other and loving to each other. And I just love you all so much. I'm so glad during this time of this mayhem and the difficulties that we have had each other. I will say that I was just on the chat and someone was saying that, that her dear loved one is being brainwashed into saying that they are not allowed to talk to her during this time. And it's been very, very difficult, But, I'm so very, very thankful that we have had each other because we know that we'll get through this and we'll all have, our families back. Everyone will be restored once the literal evildoers are purged out of the world. That's really what this whole Armageddon is about, is the beast and the false prophet will be cast out. If you're not familiar with that, definitely check into my books over on Melissa Red Pill. I decode the book of Revelation over there and you'll love it. It's wonderful, wonderful news. All right. So this is what he wants us to do, is to not only purge from our personal lives, just like with Lent is about, purging sin out of your life and really, that's what the Lord's Supper, we're going to do that in just a second. The Lord's Supper is about, is that we purge out evil from our lives. And we don't have any secret sin. That's the whole point of getting all this yeast out of our lives. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He is the Passover lamb. So let's celebrate the festival, not with old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. There you go. How about that? How about that? All right. So I hope you're enjoying this already. I have already for you put the links to how to do a Passover. They are in the description, whether I'm showing this on YouTube and on Rumble. And so you can actually go and pull these off of there for you. They've got the printable, they call it a Haggadah. Let me grab this real quick. This one is in English. And so it's like 4 or 5 pages. And the first thing to do, if you can, is to print these out and put them at each place setting so everyone will be able to read the Haggadah and follow along, okay? So that's the first thing to do, if you possibly can. If not, you can just give everyone a link and say, pull this up on your phone. But it's nice, it's helpful for people to be able to follow along. And it's good if you can say, okay, each person is going to have a certain thing to read or a certain thing, a role to play, and that really helps everybody to stay focused. Now, I will tell you this. You can do it you can have a 5-hour long Passover if you want to, or, kind of gauge your audience, the people who are going to be there, so you understand how much time really you want to spend doing doing this. So you want to make sure that you, don't end up having it longer than what your audience can manage, okay? If you've got little ones, they probably can't sit there for a 3-hour event. Okay, so there's one there. And also, this is an introduction to a Christian Seder, recovering Passover for Christians. And so you can read more about that. All these links are in the descriptions, right? Here's one that is really good. It's very simplified. Here's a simplified one from holybranches.com, simplified summary of the Christian Seder. So it's got a few little things here, and that makes it very, very simple to do if you've got just an audience that can't handle, doing something really long. All right. So here's another one on Holy Branches. It gives you a downloadable printout. All right. So this is what we have done. We have gotten these little plates right here that are really, really cute. Let me show you this. So we have the table is already set when everybody comes in. And so what we've done is I have my these are my regular plates. I put the regular plate down, and then I have the paper plate right here, and I just set it on top. And so what you're going to do is you're going to have a Passover plate that you're going to fill out. And like this one came with, like, I don't know, 50 pieces or whatever, 48 Seder plates. They call this a Seder plate, S-E-D-E-R. Seder is how you pronounce it. And so, you know, but you're not going to eat your dinner on this plate. You're just going to have the celebration with this dinner, with this plate. All right. So here's what the plate is going to look like. So you're going to put on this plate, you're going to put an egg. You're going to put a lamb shank. You're going to put some parsley. You're going to put some charoset, and you're going to put like an onion or some kind of bitter herb. All right. And what all this is about is to help everyone remember how bitter it has been to be in bondage under the tyrants. Hello. You know, and I think that so many times we've looked back to what's been happening to the people, you know, happened to the people in Egypt. And certainly they were under terrible, bitter bondage. But hello. Anybody think that we've been under the same type of thing? You know, just when you look, I was thinking about yesterday, all these plagues that have been, you know, that we've been under. And so it's not so different. We've been under the tyrant's boot, no doubt. So this is all to remind us of that. And then the egg is talking about the new life that we're moving forward into, this beautiful new day. All right. So the first thing is, before, you know, you have the place settings already out there for everybody to set. And then you can already go ahead, if you want to, put the items onto the plate. But the first thing you do is, before anyone even gets started, you go around and you take a bowl of water, just something like this, just for people to wash their hands. And then you take a towel and you go from person to person. So someone can be a designated, okay, you're going to be the one who goes around to help people to wash their hands. So everybody goes, dips their hand in and wipes, you know, with the towel. And that, you know, that's the first thing. And of course, that is reminding everyone that we come to the Lord in a clean way, in a pure way. We've removed the leaven, and we're cleansing our hands of any evil. And so that's all this is so symbolic of how we approach the Lord. That's really what Passover is about. All right. So the next thing you do is you see here on the plate, you've got the parsley. So I don't have water in this cup, but you can imagine if you have water in here, salty water, you've got that. You've probably got a little cup that you can use for each place setting. It's going to have a little cup, and you'll fill it with water with the salt. And then what they'll do at a certain point is take the parsley. This is one of the first things you do, is you take the parsley and you, actually, you know what? I forgot to do something. Stop. Before you even get started, you're going to go ahead and give thanks to the Lord. Right? You give thanks to the Lord, and you open the wine, and you go ahead and pour wine in everyone's glass, and you give thanks to the Lord for the wine and for his salvation. And so this one I found, in case are there others like me who I don't drink. And so, and if you, you know, want to have an alcohol-free, I'm not saying that alcohol is bad. I'm just saying if you wanted to have an alcohol-free, this one was cool. I had no idea you could do that. This one is a Stella Rosa black non-alcoholic beverage. So if you wanted to, then you could have wine that is non-alcoholic. You didn't know that. Anyway, so you pour a little bit in everybody's glass and you give thanks to the Lord. That's after you've washed. All right, so now let's move on to the parsley. So you've got the parsley, and you dip this parsley in the salt water, and everyone takes a bite, and it's very bitter. You know how parsley is, and so you go, this is the bitter bondage that we were under, and it's the bitter tears that we cried when we were under their boot. And it's not just the boot of the tyrants, but it's also the symbolism of that we've been under, cried bitter tears when we were in sin, when we walked away from the Lord and we had this puffed up pride, it caused bitter tears, caused a lot of problems with relationships, and of course, most importantly, our relationship with the Lord. And so this is the whole thing about the dipping the water in the parsley in the salt water to remind you of the bitterness of don't go back to the leaven of sin, don't go back to this evil, because it will cause you a lot of bitter tears. All right, so I want you to see that, and I want to remind you of here's all the wine. This is how I'll bring you out of from under the burdens of Egypt. And there's where they're dipping. And I wanted to remind you of this really cool passage that you might not have noticed. You remember when they were having the Last Supper with our Lord Jesus, and he's talking to John. He says, John says, who are you saying is going to betray you? The Lord Jesus said someone was going to betray him. He said, who would do such a thing? And he said, the one who dips with me is the one who will betray me. And I was always like, what do you mean? Are they dipping their bread in a sauce? What is this dipping? It's that he was dipping the parsley when Judas went to dip his parsley in the salt water. The Lord Jesus put his parsley into the salt water too. And that basically it's a picture of that Judas was going to cry bitter tears and the bitterness that he would experience when he realized that he had done such an evil to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. And what bitter tears, he said, woe to those, to the one who would do such a thing. It'd be better for him if he hadn't been born. Bitter tears. So he had, was dipping at that very same moment, and that Jesus was basically, the picture is that he was weeping bitter tears for Judas also, that Judas would not have purged out the leaven, that he would not have cleansed his heart, that he would have chosen for 30 pieces of silver to do this to the Lord Jesus, right? All right, so that's one of the first things is to remind us of that. And also for us, for each one of us, we recognize that, hey, we've been under terrible, bitter bondage from these evildoers. And, we have been crying tears for the entire world. Whether you've been in Venezuela or Iran or China or wherever, we've got to get these people purged out of here so we can cry no more bitter tears. All right. So how y'all like this so far? It's pretty cool, huh? Isn't that a good catch, Songbird? Isn't that cool? I'm so thankful that's why you've got to do these festivals, because it helps you to see things that you've never seen before. It's like, I would never have known this. I would never have realized that was what was happening between our Lord Jesus and Judas and John in that conversation if I had not been keeping Passover. And it dawned on me, that's what was happening. Oh, it makes sense. And also, it just helps us to see that, like right now, as we just celebrated Purim, and we saw that was the beginning of the annihilation of our enemies, which is the biblical Purim festival. Now we're heading toward Passover when we're going to be casting them out. And I promised I was going to tell you about April Fools. April Fools is the day when we celebrate the evildoers, the Egyptians, being crushed in the Red Sea. Remember the Red Sea opened, it parted, and God's people walked through, and they got out of there away from the tyrants. And then the foolish tyrants, they went into the Red Sea, and they were crushed. That's on April Fool's. I find it very interesting that this year, Passover is on April Fool's. It's the fools. The fools who have disobeyed the Lord and have sided with demons. That's the biggest fool there ever was, right? All right, so isn't that cool? All these things just coming together. It's really, really neat. Okay, so, so the next thing I was going to show you is the matzah bread. Now, look at this matzah bread. It's so cool. It is pierced. You see it's pierced, and it's also striped. Not this one, maybe not be striped really exactly. But it's pierced in a striped pattern going down. All right. So what you do is, I'm going to try to do this. You break this matzah bread. Of course, this is unleavened bread. There's no pride in this bread. There's no puffiness in this bread. And so you break it in three pieces. I'm going to try to do this And so it's not necessarily that easy, but hopefully along the score, I'm going to be able to break it into three pieces that represents the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you've got one, well, kind of, okay. And then you've got the two, and the middle one is the Son, which is our Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to set these other two pieces aside. And what you're going to look for, this is the one thing that you would probably not have. And it might be kind of hard to find. I went to HEB yesterday and they didn't have it. I'm like, you're kidding me. Y'all don't have matzah bread? They didn't have a kosher section. And so this is what you want to get, something like this. And I got it at the Kroger. So you might want to just go online and see who has it before you just, you know, walk yourself silly up and down the aisles. But this is the matzah bread, M-A-T-Z-A. That's what you're looking for, okay? So when you go to the store, find that. And so one of the other first things you do right at this section, just after you've washed and you've done the parsley in the bitter herbs, in the salt water, then you take a linen cloth. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Doesn't have to be linen, but it is if you've got a linen cloth. I have this one I use every year. And so you just wrap the bread, matzah bread, into the linen cloth. And it goes like that, okay, right there. And so this is, of course, who does this remind you of? This is, of course, representative of our Lord Jesus, that he was wrapped in linen and hidden away for 3 days. So what do you do with this? This is called the afikoman. You take the afikoman and you hide it somewhere in your house. And so then the kids or grown-ups, big kids, can go and search for the afikoman, but not until after dinner. But anyway, so that the first thing you do is you hide. Everybody has to close their eyes if you have a small house. Our house is not that big, so we just have to go and hide it somewhere where everyone has to close their eyes. But either way, go and hide it. And so this is, isn't this awesome? Isn't this so cool, you guys? This is what our Lord Jesus wanted us to keep this perpetually because it's all about him. Isn't that awesome? Now, I didn't mention this. I should have mentioned this at the beginning. You set an extra place setting, and that place setting is for Elijah. It's, of course, for our Lord Jesus. He's always the guest at our dinner. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. We're going to hear a knock on the door, and he's going to come in. But we'll get to that. All right. So go hide your afikoman, and then we'll bring that out. We'll go find that here in just a little bit. So that's the matzah bread that you need to get at the store. So there it is in the linen cloth. Right? Got it. So the next thing is you have the children or big kids come and ask various questions. There are four different questions, and the first one is, why is this night different from all other nights? So it's a way of telling the story, and you tell our ancestors were under the boot of the Egyptian tyrants, and they were oppressed terribly, and they just suffered horribly, and they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from their enemies. You see how this is a picture of where we are headed in humanity is being delivered from our enemies. This is what they did not necessarily want us to think about. Why on this night do we eat leavened products and matzah just on this night? Well, because our forefathers didn't have time to have the bread leavened. They had to flee. As soon as the Lord delivered them, they had to get out of there. All right? So you can make it as long or as short as you want to. You can read scripture verses and go into more detail about it if you want to and on each of these, or you can just answer it simply like I am doing right here. He says, another question is, on other nights we eat vegetables, but on this night we only eat bitter herbs. As I was showing you on this plate, you've got the onion. So if you're not eating squash or, you know, regular vegetables, but something bitter. And just again to remind us of the bitterness of being in bondage, the bitterness of sin. All right. And then next one it says is, let's see what's the next question. Oh, not that one. I lost the page. Okay, here it is. Okay, so, and he says, on other nights, we don't dip our food even once. And on this night, we dip twice. And so you're explaining, you know, all about the dipping, like I've been explaining to you about the dipping in the salt water and the bitterness. It'll just remind you of it's not just one batch of tears. It's two batches of tears and lots of tears. All right, so make sure everybody has a cup of tears by their plate. All right, so now on the other nights we eat sitting or reclining, and on this night we only recline. And so you are supposed to lay down like this while you're eating. It's kind of hard to remember to do that. There's a lot of things to remember, but the point about that is that now we recline because we have been set free. And that's the picture. And of course, as far as our relationship with the Lord and our deliverance from Satan has been accomplished, that he no longer rules over us. We're no longer in his kingdom. And so even though, you know, this earth has still had the evildoers in it, in your personal life, you are in that reclining position. You are in that position where you are at peace because of the Lord's, you've been delivered into the kingdom of Christ. All right, so does that make sense? You have someone, and you could put a question at each plate, or you could have, you know, the children designated to do it, or however you want to do it. But you know, again, you're just trying to have an opportunity to share the story of the deliverance of God's people from the Egyptian oppressors. And so, again, it's a really great opportunity to remind everyone of the deliverance of us, of everyone in the world from the demon worshipers. All right, and then you remind everyone of the plagues, that there had to be 10 plagues to set the people free. It was through great judgments, and the people of God experienced a lot of this too, just like we have been for the past, you know, since September 23rd, 2017, when this battle started. If you're not familiar with that, go to melissaredpill.com and you'll see the beautiful sign in the heavens called the sign of the Son of Man, also called the woman in labor in the Old Testament. You can learn more about this in the book End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. I go into all kinds of detail about it. That's the breakdown of the book of Revelation and End Times. But I have made these little papers here. And so, for example, the first plague is, I can't read it backwards, but anyway, the water turned to blood. All right, so they're not in order, but anyway, you'll get an idea. You know, I have a plague for each, you know, the frogs and the flies and the, what was that one? The Lord struck down the firstborn. Okay, that's number 10. All right, so I have a little paper that goes to each place setting, and everybody gets to say a plague that happened in order, you know, and so that you recount all that they had gone through to be delivered from the evildoers. Now, you can go as fast or as slow as you want. You can pull out the Bible and you can read the whole portion out of the book of Exodus if you want to, or you can just enumerate them. That's up to you. Again, be very cognizant of the time, because if you don't watch out, it can take, you know, hours. And it's up to you guys how you want to do it. The locusts and the darkness and the hail and the boils. Can I get an amen? We've experienced all that with the COVID and we need to make a list of all the 10 plagues. What is the Lord doing to deliver us? Because it has to be very, very obvious that these people are pure evil. You know, that's what we need to do. I want you guys to make a list. We're going to make a list of, you know, the chemtrails and the COVID and the fake news and the wars and just on and on and on. So anyway, so yeah, definitely check into that, because that's exactly what we're experiencing, just in a little different way. All right, so you do that next, and so the next thing is you drink your second cup. Now, they say like you take two sips of wine, because we don't want people sloshed by the time this is over, you know, if you are drinking the alcoholic wine. So this second cup is, I will deliver you from their slavery and oppression. After you've read all the 10 plagues, then you get another drink. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's take another drink. This is the great news that the Lord is delivering us from our oppressors in Egypt or the New World Order. All right, so that's the second cup. Okay, so you're going to have four cups. So that's the second one. All right, so the next thing is you have your dinner. This is the end of the first portion of the Passover supper, where you are celebrating and remembering the bitter bondage and celebrating the Lord's salvation. And then you have your regular dinner. Because obviously eating a few herbs and an egg and even a lamb shank is maybe not going to be enough. So at that point, everyone goes and takes their plate, as I was showing you. That's why I was saying before, have your Seder plate, and then you have your regular dinner plate, so you can go and have, right? Yeah, with me? You have your regular dinner. So again, just be cognizant of the time, because it can, you know, just, it can take lots of time. And what I don't want to happen is for you to get to the end and everyone's like, okay, hurry, we're tired. You know, you just want to keep everything kind of moving along, in my opinion. All right, at least for the first time. All right, so now after you've finished your dinner, then someone gets to go and search, the kids get to go and search for the Afikoman and see who gets going to find it. And then they get a little prize, a chocolate bar or whatever you want to do. And so you find the Afikoman. So this is, again, the picture of that when we are delivered from sin, then we get to find Jesus, you know, that he delivers us from our enemies, from sin, and that we have him that he dwells with us. That's really the picture here, is that he is our, he lives with us and is our friend, and we're reconnected with him. All right. So then there's a cute little book that I saw. I haven't read it, but it looks really cute. It's called The Passover Guest. So at this point, you have someone knock on the door, a little pretend knock on the door, and then you tell one of the children, oh, can you go get the door? Elijah's here. Again, it's talking about our Lord Jesus. It's talking about our Lord Jesus, that he is the Passover guest. And it's like when he said in Revelation chapter 3, let me see if I can find that verse again. It scrolled down. Let me see if I can find it. It says, here we go. I was like, I may have to just quote it. Here it is in verse 20. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Actually, I guess we should have it before him come in before the meal. Probably before the meal. I probably should have done it that way. I never thought about that. I actually looked it up before I came on. I'm like, when is the right time to have Elijah come in? And there were different opinions, but maybe it's, yeah, we probably need to have it before the meal. All right, so reverse that. All right, so yeah, I love that. This, do you see how Passover is all about Jesus? They didn't want us to think about that, but that is the truth. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Amen to that. You guys are all victors. You are all victors over sin and death, just like Jesus is. We are all more than conquerors because of Christ. Isn't that awesome? So yeah, and you've heard his voice and you answered the door. You received him to walk with you, and you also received him to help you to be part of what he's doing on this earth. So just congratulations to every one of you. It's quite an honor. All right, so here is our Lord Jesus sitting at the table next to all of them. And now he's going to institute, if you remember, he instituted the Lord's Supper. He instituted this at this point after they've had their dinner, and he's coming in to sup with them. And then he tells them the famous passage that we all know. He took the cup. This is the third cup. This is the cup of redemption. He gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my covenant, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 through 29. So at this point, you would go to 1 Corinthians and go through having the Lord's Supper, and say, this is my body, this is my blood, and then you'd actually do a Lord's Supper after the meal. Okay, so this is exactly where it is fitted into, what, just like our Lord Jesus did on the last night before he went to the cross for us. All right, so you might not be familiar with doing that yourself. You might feel like it's okay, am I allowed to do that? But you are. You are allowed to do that. Of course, doing it in an honorable way, in a respectful way, and everyone making sure that they, as the Bible says, to not drink sin unto yourself, but to really, look to the Lord and to receive the forgiveness in sincerity in your heart, as we've been talking about this whole video. All right, so this is the third cup of redemption, is when you do the Lord's Supper. All right, so did y'all know that? Isn't that cool? This is all about Jesus. All right. And then you've got the fourth cup. This one is one of my personal favorites. This fourth one is, and I saw someone just talking about this, this grapes of wrath. That's why you really do want to have the red wine, because it is reminding us of the Lord bringing down judgment on our enemies. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. And this is when you're to quote a passage like this one from Psalm 79, verse 6. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you. Again, it's not talking about a particular nation like France or Germany. It's talking about the New World Order, not nations is really the word Nazia, the criminal cabal, those who worship Satan. This is what it's talking about. Again, Psalm 79, verse 6, pour out your wrath on the Nazis that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that refuse to call on your name. Pour out your indignation and your wrath on those who worship Satan, those who have made a pact with the devil himself to destroy humanity. Pour out your indignation on them. This is not about that we're, you know, hating a particular nation. You know, we're not, what we're doing right now, our wonderful president is doing right now, he's not destroying Iran. He's destroying the Satan worshipers who run Iran. He was not destroying Venezuela. He was rescuing the people of Venezuela. He was destroying the evildoers who had hijacked Venezuela. He's not destroying the Latin American countries. He's destroying the Satan worshiper cartels that have destroyed them. He's not, you know, same thing, Iran, it's about the IRGC that worships Satan. Pour out your wrath on them, those who do not acknowledge you and who refuse to call on your name, who refuse to humble themselves and follow you and obey you. All right, isn't that great? There's your fourth cup. Okay, I hope this is going to help you guys. You see, everything that I've done here, you have all of this at your house. You have, this is going to be very, very easy for you to do. Then you have a fifth cup, but you actually don't drink this cup. This is the cup of Elijah, and you give him this cup, and you're waiting for the millennial kingdom of Christ. This is what I've been talking about for so long. This is, again, when I talk about the end times and 1,000 years of peace, this is the end times for the criminal cabal, and 1,000 years of peace is the millennial kingdom of Christ. This is where we're headed, and I've also got this book here called The Golden Age, where I talk about all the wonderful things that will happen in the Golden Age. If you haven't read that, you just got to check it out, and hopefully I'll have that audiobook done soon. But anyway, this is the fifth cup, the cup of Elijah, and then you give that to him, and he said, our Lord Jesus said that he would drink this cup with us in the kingdom. And that's what you say at the very end. Okay, then next year in Jerusalem, it's not talking about that we're physically going to get in a plane and go to Jerusalem. Next year is the year when we'll see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I will say this, I would love for it to be this year. How about here? How about you guys? I would love for it to be this year, Jerusalem. This year, the city of God. All over the world. This year, the evildoers cast out, purged out of the world, and so anyone who worships Satan and his kingdom come. How about that? I'm loving that, right? And so if you remember on Easter, we're going to be preparing for this also. That's Resurrection Day. That's when you start counting the Omer. That's all right behind me. And then you count 50 days. If you remember, the 50th day is the Jubilee. We will watch and see exactly what happens as the days go by. But I'm pretty excited about it. I know you are too. All right, so yeah, that's the cup of Elijah. I think that's everything. That's not hard at all, right? You can do that. It's just the only thing you're going to need to probably get is the matzah bread, and you might not have parsley in your house. Oh, here it says. Oh, I want you to see this one. This, again, more of my personal favorites. It says the tradition involves opening the door and pouring a cup of wine for Elijah toward the end of the Seder, typically reciting the pour out your wrath verse. This moment occurs after, he says, after the meal. The pour out your wrath goes, says, after the meal. All right, so that's the way we'll do it. All right, I think that's it. Let me see if there's anything else. I think, okay, these are the books if you want to go and check that out. I think that's everything. That's not so hard at all. We got that done in 48 minutes. So you can see how it can take a while. Now, you won't have to explain all this that I've explained, but maybe for the first time, you might have to. So you can see how it takes a little bit of time to do. But it's really a blessing I hope that you guys saw that what a blessing it is and that Jesus is our Passover. All right. So what do y'all guys think? I want to see in the chat. What do you think? You think you can do it? All right. Yeah. You don't have to. Thank you, Songbird. Don't worry about keeping it perfectly. It's meant in your heart. Thank you, Songbird, for saying that. And, you know, even if you mess up, like I messed up a couple times in this video, it's okay. We're all in that learning phase and we're learning more about him. And that's what's so great. Every time when we study his word, we catch more and he discloses more to us, you know, it makes more understanding. So, all right, let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you are the Passover lamb. Thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. You went willingly for us and that you are the one that deserves the praise because all this, our salvation is because of you. All of humanity is being rescued because of you and what you did for us on the cross to defeat the darkness, to defeat the evildoers. We praise you and we thank you that we are going to see these beautiful days of the golden age like you have promised to us. And hopefully this year, we're ready for it to happen any day now, Lord. We just trust your plan absolutely, completely. And we just look forward to you celebrating this with the new wine in the kingdom. Great, great celebration when our enemies are gone, as you have told us, and I've quoted many times, we look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. What a day. We cannot even wait. I just ask you to continue to bless everyone on the battalion and everyone who's listening to this. I just ask you to bless the Passover to them and that we'll be able to share this wonderful, hopeful message with everyone that you are the king of the world and that you will reign on this earth and that nothing can stop what is coming. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Yay. I hope you had fun. I hope that was really fun and interesting for you. You might have to listen to it a couple of times before you really get it down pat, but I think that's it. I guess I'll go now and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. I love you guys. And I will talk to you. I feel like I already don't want to go. Anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. I love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.